Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following program contains adult content, explicit language, and sexual themes. Listener discretion is advised. And it contains murder. Lots and lots of murder.
You stinking bastard.
People tell me, hey, you're gonna go die and go to hell. At least I'm not alone.
Stop for 911. Where's your emergency?
Oh, this is Candy. For 41 Rock. Rock Crimson Road.
What's the problem?
Send the police.
And you guys, don't be a hero, mate. And I said, I'm not trying to be a hero, but the police are coming.
One in the chest, one in the head. Fired by Detective Sergeant Roger Rogers.
I was branching out. That's when the cannibalism started. Eating of the heart and the arm muscle.
Oh, we're a male car with his hands hook on his tail and just have to pull it out of his backside. Car Williams is a wobbly, bottom little cherub face little boy whose life would be...
I'd harm someone each time. I'd kill someone to be an enormous amount. Especially at first. Enormous amount of horror, guilt, remorse afterwards. But then that impulse to do it again would come back even stronger.
Hi, I'm Cambo.
And I'm Barney Black.
And I'm Tara Saraban. And this is Bloody Murder on True Crime Island.
Special Christmas edition.
We are two true crime podcasts combining forces to tell you some special holiday true crime stories.
Well, shit in a bucket, I'm super excited. Cambo, how about you?
You bet. Boom fuckalunga.
On this special Yuletide episode, we'll be talking about an horrendous Christmas massacre that happened in Covina and a series of ridiculous Chrissy crimes from all around the globe.
Now, before we commence our sordid tales, we'd like to remind you that this episode is brought to you by our wonderful and generous patrons.
If you'd like to become a patron to either Bloody Murder or True Crime Island, check out our websites.
And thank you all for your ongoing support this year.
Now, guys, Christmas is supposed to be a time of goodwill and family bonding. Sure, for 364 days of the year, you hate your brother-in-law, cousin or auntie, but for one day, you'll give them a hug and kiss them on the cheek and feign interest in their tedious monologues about taxidermy and the best way to remove snails from the garden.
Then on Boxing Day, you can go right back to hating them again.
Amen.
But Barney... there's nothing like the joy on a kid's face when he first sees the PlayStation box containing the socks I got him for Christmas.
You prick.
That's why Christmas is just like another day at the office. You do all the work and the fat guy in the suit gets all the credit.
Oh, that fat red bastard.
Ugh, so smug.
You know, Tara, also Christmas is the one time of year we make small children sit on the knee of a male stranger who is obviously wearing a disguise.
Oh, seriously, what is with that?
It is creepy, isn't it?
Oh, it is creepy.
Now, we've all seen the sweet Christmas-themed movies where everything is covered in thick layers of white snow, everyone is all cozy and rugged up, building snowmen and drinking eggnog.
Yeah, but Christmas in Australia is a very different thing. Here, Christmas happens in the middle of our blisteringly hot summer.
Well, I can tell you, we're sitting here sweltering in our culottes and singlets, sweat dripping into our eyes and down our butt cracks, while someone roasts a bloody turkey nobody feels like eating in 45 degree heat. We're watching movies and listening to carols about snowmen, mittens, warm fires and hot cocoa.
We don't have mistletoe here either. I guess the closest thing for us is spinning the goon bag on the hill's hoist.
Oh, yeah.
That's where you take the bladder out of a box of wine, tape it to the clothesline in the backyard and give it a spin. Then whoever's under it has to suck a swig from the goonie.
Oh, my grandmother loved that game.
Well, she was an impressive and handsome woman.
Instead of festive, colourful table centrepieces, We have fly and mozzie repellent.
Yeah. And it doesn't snow anywhere in Australia over Christmas. So if we want to build a snowman, it has to be made out of sand.
No ugly Christmas sweaters for us.
Get your hands off my sweaty pillows.
Hey, Barney, what's the worst thing you ever got for Christmas? A present so shit you wanted to punch someone over, or had to show that face of happiness when really you were so disappointed?
The worst, Cambo? I did ask for roller skates once, and Santa, the fat bastard, bought me the ones that go over your shoes.
Oh, no!
That sucks.
Yeah, it really did suck. They started to fall apart just after a group of neighbourhood kids laughed at me.
Oh, poor little Barney.
Assholes. What about you, Tara?
Well, I loved pop music when I was a kid, and I got really excited when I opened a present that was 6 whole cassette tapes of the biggest pop songs of the year. But there was a catch. They were all done by Miami Sound Machine, like not the actual artist who recorded the songs. I was essentially given 6 cassettes of a cover band, and they did not sound the same.
Was Dr. Beat on there? Duck, 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 duck.
No,
Dr.
they
Beat.
Would be doing an original if they did Dr. Beat.
That was their song, wasn't
it?
It's Gloria Estefan. Do you still have these cassettes? I so want to listen to them.
Oh, God. I'm surprised they lasted out the year. It was always disappointing. You'd be like, oh, I love this song. I'm going to put it on. And, you know.
It was a bit shite.
Yeah, just almost like auto-tune was singing it, you know.
All right, Canberra, you have to tell us your worst Christmas prezzy now.
Look, I'm the sort that can fake it so well that even I think all my prezzies are great. You've just got to keep that poker face.
Oh, my God. It's like when Harry met Sally. I'll have the present Cambo's having.
So you didn't like that rhinestone-encrusted butt plug I gave you, Cambo?
Ever since I woke up on your couch.
Stop grooming me, buddy.
He's not going to stop, you know.
I'm not going to stop, Cambo. No. Hey, baby.
Way to kill the conversation, Barney. All right, Cambo and Barney, let's get murdery.
All right.
Let's do it.
It's 11:30 p.m. on Christmas Eve 2008, and there is a Christmas party going on at the Ortega residence at 1129 East Knollcrest Drive, Covina, Los Angeles, California. There are around 25 people attending the party, including adults and children. Recently divorced from his wife, Sylvia Ortega, arrives at the residence and bangs on the door.
He's dressed in full Santa Claus drag, you know, red suit and white beard, but instead of bringing presents in a sweet red sack, it's full of some nasty surprises. A homemade flamethrower and 4 9mm pistols. When the 8-year-old niece of his ex-wife answers the door, he shoots her in the face and strides into the room where the party is in full swing.
He then started to shoot the partygoers one by one. He even stood over some of the injured victims and performed executions. As everyone tried to flee, he got out his homemade flamethrower and started to spray high-octane racing fuel throughout the building. A log fire in the room ignited the gasoline and caused a huge explosion, melting parts of the Santa suit onto Pardo's skin, causing third-degree burns.
I hope it bloody hurt.
Yeah, I do too.
One of the survivors that fled the massacre was able to contact police while hiding at a neighbouring house. By the time police and fire crews attended the scene, the home was in flames reaching up to 20 metres in height. That's 50-odd feet for our friends in the USA.
Well, that's a big fire.
Pardo, by this time, had changed into some regular clothes and driven off in his rented Dodge Caliber towards his brother's house, about 48 kilometres or 30 miles away. Initially, his plan was to fly either to a friend's house in Illinois or even to fly out of the country to Canada and use the Illinois itinerary to try and fool investigators. When Pardo got to his brother's house, he rigged a booby trap.
They're the best kinds of traps, eh, Barney?
Hey, baby.
I don't know, guys. Ball traps can be quite festive. Pardo rigged a booby trap in his car using the remnants of his melted Santa suit, 300 rounds of ammunition, and a pipe bomb. When he entered his brother's house, he realised his brother wasn't home yet.
That's a hell of a booby trap.
Oh, I know. That's a lot of boobies.
While waiting for his brother and weighing up whether he should go with Plan A, Illinois, or Plan B, Canada, Pardo decided on Plan C and shot himself in the head.
When his brother called police on his arrival at 3 a.m. Christmas morning, they found the dead Pardo with not only a gunshot wound to the head, but $17,000 cling-wrapped to his leg inside a girdle. Police also found the four empty 9mm handguns and at least 200 rounds of ammo.
A bomb squad attempted to disarm the booby-trapped car, but they were unsuccessful and the car exploded.
Boom fuckalunga!
Hey, that's my line, shit in a bucket.
At Pardo's house in Montrose, they also discovered two shotguns, a container used for high-octane fuel, and a collection of Nickelback cassettes.
In the end, there were nine dead plus Pardo.
They were Sylvia Ortega, Pardo's ex-wife, Alicia and Joseph Ortega, Sylvia's mum and dad, Charles and Sherry Lynn Ortega, Sylvia's brother and his wife, her other brother, James Ortega, and his wife, Teresa. Alicia and Michael Ortega Ortiz, they were Sylvia's sister and her son.
Three members of the family lost their lives to gunshots alone, while four died from a combination of fire and gunshots, and two were killed by the fire. Several others were injured but managed to survive.
That's quite a body count, isn't it, guys?
It's wiped out most of an entire family.
Yeah, it's shocking. I think there was about 13, 14 children orphaned.
Oh.
Yeah, because he took out all those parents. By the way, the girl that he shot in the face when he came in the door, she lived.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
So what the fucking red-nosed reindeer caused Pardo to go off the rails like this? He had no prior criminal record and no history of violence.
Well, Barney, he had just lost his job as an electrical engineer around 5 months earlier at ITT Electronic Systems, and he just settled his divorce with Sylvia weeks beforehand.
Yeah, the divorce seems to be the key here. Pardo had known Sylvia for a few years before they were married. They'd met while working at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Flint Ridge in 2004.
They were married in January of 2006, and it is unclear if Pardo had told his wife of his previous marriage and son, who was severely disabled in a swimming accident years before. Soon after they were married, they grew apart. Pardo refused to open a joint bank account with Sylvia and wouldn't step up as a stepdad and take care of her three children from a prior relationship financially.
Man, you can imagine the harmony at the dinner table when Pardo's there eating his top quality steak and the kids are all sharing a can of Spam.
That's right, eat your cat food.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'd be drinking Beer Chang and Jason would be drinking 4X, the poor little bugger.
Well, that's a very good metaphor for it, I think, yeah. In June 2008, a divorce court ordered Pardo to pay Sylvia $1,785 a month, and she also got a one-off payment of $10,000, the wedding ring and the family dog.
It's unknown if the dog was called Graham, but I suspect it was.
Well, Graham's a dog's name.
Well, Pardo wasn't happy about parting with Graham and also the other stuff.
Pardo complained to the court that Sylvia was living at home with her parents, not paying rent, had bought a luxury car, took gambling trips to Vegas, ate at restaurants all the time, and got massages and golf lessons.
Golf lessons and eating in restaurants. Outrageous.
How dare she have a life without him, huh?
If only I can go live with mum and dad.
Yeah.
Go buy myself a new car.
Oh, if only you can get rid of your horrible, horrible ex-husband without him murdering your entire family.
Mm. Now, Pardo was able to get hold of the four handguns by buying one a month as per the law of the land back then. So this massacre was very much premeditated.
Yeah, it really sounds like it. Apparently, during the divorce proceedings, Pardo's mum sat with the Ortega clan in court. Ooh. I mean, that'd sting, right? Your own mum siding with the ex-wife. He actually had more of a kill list and planned to kill his mum as well, but having the Santa suit melt on him sort of fucked up his plans, and just as well, right?
Good, good.
Yeah. Well, that was a shocking, shocking story. It's the way it happened, he took out basically all of her family and...
I'm really glad that her children survived. That's something.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, who's going to look after them now?
So, everyone, that's our shocking, horrible true crime story for today. That's the main one. So, do we have any more?
We sure do, Cambo.
But the rest of them are really, like, happy and funny. It was Christmas 2014, and SantaCon was in full swing in San Francisco. For 20 years, thousands of people had gathered, all dressed up in their red and white Santa suits and stick-on fake woolly white beards. It's not really an event for the kiddies, though. Like, it's actually descended into a huge alcohol-fueled pub crawl that spills out onto the streets.
Tuesdays.
just a Tuesday. Tuesdays.
It's here that one badly behaved Santa decided to walk into the Wells Fargo Bank at Union Square and pass a note to the teller that read, "You better not shout, you better not cry. Give me the money because I'm telling you why. I've got a gun in my Santa sack pointed at you."
Oh, he's good, isn't he?
You've got quite the voice, Cambo.
I love singing Cambo.
Thank you.
I do too. So the terrified teller gave him an undisclosed amount of cash and he calmly walked out, getting lost in the crowd with the thousands of other drunk Santas enjoying SantaCon. But unlike the other debauched partygoers, this guy literally put the con into SantaCon.
Hey, baby, ho, ho, ho. Just reach in and check out the surprise in Santa's sack.
Oh, calm your tinsel tits, Cambo. The authorities put out an APB that had law enforcement looking for a portly chap wearing a red jacket with white furry trim. He had white hair and a white beard and looked jolly. I bet law enforcement wish they'd been given a more specific brief.
Well, you know. Take them all in.
Take them all in. I don't think there was room in
the jails. We'll find something.
Now, only in Florida, Wellington, Florida, to be precise, where during Christmas 2007, the theft of the baby Jesus from a local nativity scene led police to an 18-year-old woman's house. Now, they didn't have to follow a star to find the baby Jesus, as the three wise men did all those years ago. Rather, they used a more modern technique. The baby Jesus was equipped. He was low-jacked with a GPS device, and it didn't take them long to recover the little pot-bellied prophet.
Hey, are you fat-shaming the little baby Jesus, Barney?
Yes, I am. No, of course not. All babies are tubby.
Well, what is wrong with people going around stealing little baby Jesuses every Christmas? In my day, you'd steal the muffler man and put him on the council steps and hope it made the local paper that week.
Did it?
It did actually.
So hang on a second. You actually.
I think it was the Campbelltown Ingleburn News.
You did this. Okay. I think we need a little bit more details, right? Okay. Well, was it you and some mates?
The muffler shop makes a muffler man out of all the old muffler bits.
Yeah.
And he stands there waving at people, you know, as they drive
past.
Hang
on. So it moves?
Well, he sort of
does. He moved that night, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's sort of like strike a pose.
Oh, he vogues.
Waving at you. And then at night, alcohol fueled, you get the muffler.
Hang on,
man,
with
from
some
out
mates
the front
or
of
by
the
yourself?
Shop. Well, mate,
yeah.
You can't do
how
it
many
yourself.
Mates does it take to lift a muffler man?
Two.
Oh, there you go.
One's got to be sober enough to drive the car.
Oh, I was going
to
say the three of us could do it, but that's not going to work, is it?
Abduct the other two. Abduct the muffler man. Then you chuck it in the boot. You drive off to wherever, and then you've got to think, oh, where are we going to put it? So take it to the steps of the council and leave it there. That's Friday night, so Saturday morning, everyone gets to see the happy muffler man, and it makes the paper. The good thing is the muffler shop doesn't care.
Oh.
They want to keep building these things and you stealing them because it's all free publicity.
Well, there you go.
Oh, you were on the take from the muffler men, weren't you?
Yeah, the muffler industry, man, they're just so corrupt.
They're trying to like...
Victimless crimes.
I don't know. The muffler man might have felt a bit sad being so out in public. Maybe he was an introvert.
Well, we did... We did dump one in the river.
Oh, no.
You little bastards.
Did you put him in a trolley first and just go down, push him down a hill?
Sort of like a dry run for the future.
Well, not so dry, huh?
No.
No, never.
Only in Florida does the baby Jesus even have a GPS ankle bracelet, right?
How would Joseph be, though, on December 25th all those years ago? Here he is with blue balls and a baby after his wife says she's a virgin, and then these three guys turn up when the kid's born and give Mary all these gifts.
Yeah, that would seem a little bit fishy, wouldn't it?
You really got to be careful when choosing the right gift for someone. In 2003, a man gave his girlfriend a fillet knife for Christmas and was admitted to hospital the next day after said girlfriend stabbed him and cut his throat with the same fillet knife.
Damn.
She was arrested and told police she stabbed her boyfriend as he had threatened that he would cut her up and throw her in the river only a few days previously on a fishing trip.
Oh, that's a bit shit.
Now, what was he thinking?
He can go rant it out, motherfucker.
Here he is threatening to cut up his girlfriend and throw her in the river, and he goes and gets her a fillet knife for a Chrissy Prezzy. If my relationship was that toxic, not only would I gift my partner a fluffy soft toy that they couldn't cut me with, but I'd have thrown out all the kitchen knives and replaced them with plastic ones, for fuck's sake.
Sound advice, dude.
Wise move.
So this.
Hi, Kate. We've got plastic knives.
Yeah, but I mean, if you didn't threaten to cut her up on a fishing trip, you probably wouldn't need to replace the knives. You know,
well, that's it.
Cause and effect.
I never have.
Cause and effect. So the spirit of Christmas is all about giving. And there was a man who took that, well, beautifully seriously. So this guy claimed to be Santa and he was arrested for giving away a little bit too much good cheer. 57-year-old Monterey Peninsula man Randy Lang, oh, Merry Christmas, Randy, was taken into custody after wrapping up and handing out marijuana to customers and staff at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Seaside. Marijuana Santa Claus said the pot was a Christmas present.
Staff at the popular sports bar called police at 4 p.m. after Randy was allegedly seen wrapping marijuana in festive napkins and handing it out to people inside the restaurant. Randy also allegedly gave an employee a napkin filled with pot and stuffed a large amount of wacky tobacco inside the bar's tip jar.
I love Randy.
Merry fucking Christmas.
Yeah, he'd call the cops.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know what? It must have been like a staff member because, come on.
Fun police.
Yeah, the fun police called the cops.
Mm. Anyway, Randy, what a name.
I know.
Everyone was feeling Randy, so he left.
Everyone was feeling Randy, so he gave them all weed.
Randy was arrested for furnishing marijuana.
Doesn't it sound
furnishing
like he made
marijuana?
Doesn't it sound like he made, like, you know, little chairs and tables out of it?
Oh, I love weed furniture.
I think he had enough to do that.
I love the guy on the wire that used to whittle it. Remember?
Oh yeah.
When police searched his duffel bag and backpack, they allegedly found 5 football-sized amounts of pot, weighing in at over 2 pounds. Sergeant Nicholas said, "Hey, what are you fucking doing with this much dope? Where'd you get this from? What are you giving it to everybody for?"
Yeah, it doesn't anyway. Grow on trees or anything.
Sergeant Nicholas said, "He went in, had a few beers and was walking around. He told me he likes giving out marijuana." Do I?
Marijuana. Yes. I love it.
He went in and had a few beers and was walking around. He told me he likes giving out marijuana. I've never experienced anything like this. Well, Nick, maybe you should get out and about.
Get out more, dude.
Sergeant Nicholas also went on to deny that he was harshing Santa's buzz.
Well, he really was.
Look, he was.
He was.
I mean, if Santa came up to me and said, "Here's a handful of pot," I'd go, "Thank you, Santa.
Yeah.
That's the best gift
Thank you, Santa.
Anyone's ever given
it's
me.
It's a Christmas miracle."
It is.
It's like a Nimbin Christmas,
oh,
isn't it?
Oh, well, you would know, as would I.
Normal, nearly normal Nimbin.
Oh, not nearly normal Nimbin, mate.
All right, guys. Now for a holiday tale from Canadia, because I'm pretty sure that's how it's pronounced. We have many listeners from Canadia.
Well, not anymore, we don't.
Yeah, they're gone.
Sorry, guys.
Or we're getting emails right now.
Please direct your shit reviews to Barney.
Well, they sound like Americans, don't they?
Don't you even say that! Now, oh, my God, Cambo. There they really go.
Oh, God. Are they say a boot?
Yeah, I love a boot, but they don't all do it. But they don't all do it.
But they have Mounties and a universal healthcare system and stuff.
They're pretty awesome. We actually got a shit review that said that they hated us because we gave shit to Canadian Mounties, and we don't think we did.
No, yeah. I think they're cool.
Yeah, Mounties are great. Oh my God. I'm not sure when we would have given them shit, but apparently we suck because we did. What?
I'm a Canadian Mountie and I like mountain women.
Oh, no.
You know what? If you'd said people, it would have been more inclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
What? Mountain people?
Yeah. Him, shim, her, sure, they, them,
any
us.
Port in a storm, I say.
No, jingle balls.
Oh, come on, tinsel tits. Get your shit together.
Canada Post. Canada Post, what an institution, provided a service where kids can write a letter to Santa and get a reply. It's a really sweet idea that a lot of countries have in play. But one year, an evil Grinch tried to ruin it for everyone.
Canada Post was horrified at the news that some recipients of mail from Santa in the Ottawa area had received inappropriate letters. While they apologised personally to the families that were affected, they also publicly announced that they would take every step possible to find the person or persons responsible. They would track them down. They would tackle them and handcuff them and apologise profusely, and then they would put them in jail.
Oh, I love Canadians.
I'm sorry.
Some of the rogue letters contained replies to the poor children, such as...
Santa is really bad. He hates kids. Even hates David Beckham. P.S. You're adopted.
I got one. Learn to say please when you ask for things, you dumb shit, or you'll be getting dirty socks for Christmas forever.
This is my personal favourite. This is great. This letter is too long, you ass clown, and your mum sucks dicks and your dad is gay.
And this is true. This is exactly what was coming through.
Yeah, they were kind of harsh for little kiddies, hey?
Naughty little elf. This next little story is all about another bad Santa. There's plenty of bad Santas out there, it looks
like. So many.
A man dressed as Santa Claus climbed through a KFC drive-through window before robbing staff at knife point. CCTV footage captured the merry moment the man entered the fast food restaurant in Alfriston, Derbyshire, on December the 19th.
The robber threatened staff with a knife and demanded money before scampering away with the cash as fast as his tubby little legs could carry him. The man was described as being around 5'10" tall and husky, wearing a red hat, jacket and pants with, you'll never guess, white furry trim. But he also did have a black stocking over his face, which was a bit of a twist.
That's a good look.
Oh. Mm, yeah, you know what? It was probably Brod from Felon.
So how else is Santa supposed to survive? That's what I ask. Mm. Breast or thigh, Cambo?
Ooh, I can't answer that.
You're all about the chicken butt, aren't you, mate?
You love the chicken butt.
Nom, 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 chicken butt. Ah, g'day, I'm Cambo. I like eating chicken butt. Nom, 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 nom.
That's what they make nuggets out of, isn't it? Wow. Chicken ass.
Pretty much.
I thought that was Cambo saying that.
G'day. I like chicken butts. Nom, 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 nom. Oh, sorry, little girl burp.
Yeah, burp like a man. Come on, step up. Step up, cracker.
Burp like a man, burp like a man.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I just let it out already.
I'm mostly a silent burper and it really annoys Barney. He thinks they all sound like vomit burps, but they aren't, Barney. They aren't.
Yeah, well, you know.
Not everyone's an awesomely loud burper like you.
Joycey!
His Aunt Joyce was. Yeah. Really loud burp.
Yeah, she could burp really loud. And then people in the other room would yell out, Joycey!
I sort of have Pepsi burps and Coke burps. They're pretty bad. The old beer chang burp.
Now a Christmas story from Great Yarmouth in England, where one of the official town Santas was being picked on by a local teenager in front of a crowd of little kiddies. After a while, Santa couldn't take the torment any longer, and in a fit of rage, he rushed the annoying teenager. Then the two of them got involved in a sport of biffo.
I am so tired of your shit.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he was thinking.
Ho, motherfucker.
Yeah, that man, come on.
Merry fucking Christmas.
Punch on, cunt.
You little cunt, come
here. Punch on, cunt.
Mummy, what's a little cunt?
You, sweetie, you.
Yeah. Police quickly broke up the fight, but the damage to all the little kiddies was already done because Cambo was there, with most of them crying and in shock at the spectacle they just witnessed. As Santa was led away in handcuffs, these poor little children thought Christmas would never come.
So, in order to try and limit the emotional scarring these kids had just suffered, police took a group of them downtown to explain that the fighting Santa was actually an imposter and that the real one would still visit them on Christmas night.
With nunchucks?
No, Barney. With presents. Don't you know how this works?
I'm not sure he does.
Apparently not.
Nah.
Comes
down the chimney.
Santa's coming down the fucking... He's coming down the fucking chimney. What the fuck are you doing? You're supposed to be asleep. Yeah, well, fuck you, Santa.
Well, you have a bad relationship with Santa, don't you?
I feel it's a little abusive on both sides.
What are you doing in Mum's room? Stop touching her.
Oh, you're walking the line here,
no.
Cambo.
Oh, God.
Hey, Cambo, your dad's gay for Santa. Don't worry, we can't use that.
Oh, yes, we will.
That's all right.
Hi to all our Swedish listeners.
And to Pernilla from True Crime Sweden.
Yeah, she'd know all about this one. So this is from an article we got from a Swedish news site called The Local. So Sweden's straw Yuletide goat called Gävleblocken.
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 Sweden has a straw goat.
I know how to speak Swedish.
I've got to fix this.
Hey, baby, Gävleblocken.
Sweden has like this big straw Christmas goat that's called Gävleblocken.
Gävleblocken.
And his biggest claim to fame is that he tends to get burnt down every Christmas. And this year, well, he's returning. Let's see how long he lasts.
How do we know the Gävleblocken is a boy? It could be a girl goat.
Okay, I'll go back to it. They. This year, it's set to return. We're going to have to wait and see what happens there.
Well, guys, every year, the Christmas goat in a Slottsdalget square in Gävle, central Sweden, attracts a media storm, with locals dreaming up new ways to protect the arson-prone 13-metre-high creation.
That's big.
It is big. Despite their efforts, including in some years spraying the goat in anti-flammable liquid, the goat usually goes up in flames long before Swedes have opened their Chrissy Prezzies.
Last year, the goat surprisingly made it to Boxing Day intact.
Sweet.
To the delight of the organisers. Now, they were reported to have put a secret, and I'm doing air quotes here, secret plan into effect to protect it. In 2016, it was less fortunate, going down in flames just hours after its inauguration.
Historical precedent is against Gävleblocken. In its first year, in 1966, it burned down on New Year's Eve, and it's only actually made it through the entire month of December on 13 occasions in 52 years.
Wow. It has been burned, stolen, and vandalised. In 1976, someone drove a car into it.
Look, you got to admit, when you see it, it's just asking to be burnt down.
Well, I mean, that's the vibe I'm getting. Here are just a few of the most outrageous Gävle goat attacks. In 1976, a student drove a customised Volvo Amazon at the rear legs of the goat, precipitating its collapse.
Timber!
The old Volvo!
In 2001, it was burned down by a baffled American tourist. So this happened on December 23. A 51-year-old American artist, Lawrence Jones, was apprehended lighter in hand as he watched the goat burn.
Smoking gun.
He told police he had been misled by his Swedish friends, who insisted torching the straw goat was a perfectly legal Swedish tradition. He spent 18 days in the clink and was fined 100,000 kroner, which he has not paid.
I mean, who needs enemies when you got mates like that, the cunts? In 2005, vandals dressed as Santa Claus and gingerbread men shot a flaming arrow at the goat on December the 3rd. The hunt for the arsonists responsible for the goat burning in 2005, it actually featured on the weekly Swedish live broadcast of TV3's Most Wanted. Hey, we're looking for fucking gingerbread man and Santa.
Yeah. So, well, with all the alcohol consumed over Christmas, the spirit of giving can sometimes end up with people giving each other bloody noses, right? New Hampshire resident 26-year-old Heath Blom and his girlfriend 24-year-old Randy Young were arrested in 2008 after a Yuletide fracas over a Nintendo Wii left them both bloodied.
You see, Heath had asked Randy for a remote-controlled airplane for Christmas and was gutted to receive a gaming console instead. Oh, the nerve.
Oh, how dare she?
Well, the couple argued passionately and a brawl ensued. When Randy went to leave, Heath allegedly grabbed her hair.
In retaliation, she turned around and smacked him fair in the face. Merry fucking Christmas.
Well, guys, it seems like the critics are right. Like, sometimes video games do cause violent behaviour.
And now for another Christmas tale. In 2009, a drunk Santa Claus stumbled into a scared family's yard in Wisconsin. The family's two kids weren't fooled by the blottoed man in red.
9-year-old Katie Dockery told local news, "He smelled like alcohol, so I knew it wasn't the real Santa because Santa doesn't drink alcohol."
Oh, man, I reckon he slams a few.
Oh, man, don't people leave booze out for him on purpose?
That's right.
According to the girl's mother, the drunk imposter totted around yelling, "Have you seen my reindeer? If you see my reindeer, you call me right away."
Oh, that's not a reindeer, Santa.
Oh, no, I don't hey. Know if it's anything.
Well, guys, those were some awesome, fucked up Christmas tales.
Oh, they sure as shit were.
I hope everyone
liked it. Yeah, that was fun.
So, Cambo, what are your plans for Christmas?
Well, I will be in amazing Thailand, with the lovely Kate. Look, I'll probably taking a photo of a mojito. Mojito? I always say mojito, but you said I should say mojito.
No, I didn't say you should say mojito. I said that's what the world says, and you should say whatever the hell you want.
Yeah. Cambo. Mojito? Cambo, just be Cambo.
Just be Cambo,
it's
man.
My marijuana.
So smoking marijuana, taking photos of mojitos.
I'll be taking photos of my mojito. And it's funny because when I take a photo of my mojitos and I upload it, it's always Nina Instead's the first one to comment on it.
What does she say?
She usually just goes, "Yeah," or "whatever," "yeah," blah, 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 little like.
Do you drink your mojito, or do you just take a photo of it and then have a glass of milk? Strawberry
well,
milk.
I usually do it as stylish as I can, you know, with a fucking palm tree in the back, you know, and you've got to try and do it as good as you can. And then it comes out all right. Well, you know, it's the first one of the night.
Boom, mojito lunga.
Well, also, there's going to be Chrissy Chang beers in the fridge. Mm. So, hi, Jason.
I was going to go with fuck you, Jason, but either 40. Way.
No, it's all good. They're both good. Both acceptable.
So, what are you doing, Tara?
Day drinking. I shall be day drinking. I found a way to wangle it so that I don't have any like family functions or anything at all. My family don't live in Melbourne. So I'm going to pop over to Barney's for some Christmas beers, but that's it. I'm pretty much going to pretend that Christmas doesn't exist. So if this were one of those Christmas movies we were talking about earlier with all the snow, there'd probably be some kind of miracle where I learned the true power of Christmas and I helped orphans and I made out with my childhood sweetheart while we built a snowman. But it isn't, and there won't be, and I won't. Those orphans are going to have to figure their shit out for themselves.
Poor little bastards. Well,
enjoy that. Enjoy that lonely tirade of...
Wow,
of horribleness.
Actually, that sounds fucking awesome to me. Are you kidding me?
Well, look, enjoy that, Tara. I mean that sincerely.
The horrible tirade of loneliness that I'll be doing on Christmas. I will enjoy my horrible tirade of loneliness.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Good. Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do now.
What are you going to do?
Well, Cambo, I'm going to do the usual, presents with the kids. but not from under the Christmas tree because Laszlo's destroyed the Christmas tree already, the rabid little tiger.
Isn't Laszlo so lovely?
He's so sweet and he purrs every time you give him a little pat.
I'm glad he hasn't got the zoomies right now while we're recording. He's asleep on the couch.
Oh, my God, Cambo's purring.
Scratch him under the chin. He likes that.
Oh, you had a little belly rub.
So, yeah, I put the Christmas trees, I put the presents underneath the exercise bike and put some tinsel on the exercise bike. I think that works.
Yeah,
so,
well, it's not like you use it.
I don't see it under there.
For anything other than a coat rack.
No, the microphone puts 20 kilos on. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, we all sound
I've got
fat
my
on
fat
podcasts.
Voice. So, yeah, hang with the
nice
kids.
Nice one, Santa bod.
So yeah, hang with the kids, open presents, and watch the disappointment pour over their faces when they open their shitty presents, and then watch Die Hard, because it's a Christmas movie, and I don't care what anyone says.
No, it is.
And when the kids go to their mums, I'll get blackout drunk. The usual.
Yeah. I actually have sort of a lifelong bizarre relationship with Christmas.
All right. We've got a story to tell us.
Mm.
Let's hear it.
Well, until I was seven, my brother and I lived with our mum in the middle of bumfuck nowhere with, like, no paved roads, electricity, gas, hot water, or an actual toilet with plumbing. Like, instead we had a hole in the ground with a kind of, like, toilet seat over it that was always swarming with flies. Good times.
Nice.
Good times. Now, of course, we didn't have a fridge because no electricity. And being in northern New South Wales in the summer, it got ridiculously hot. So for the first 7 years of my life, my mother had me convinced that Christmas was a time when you partied by breaking out the canned food.
Nice.
Yep, canned pineapple, cucumbers, beetroot and asparagus. All the fancy stuff. Boy, it went down a treat with some sweaty cheese that was moldy on the sides, so you had to cut the sides off it. And to wash it down, a glass of lumpy room temperature powdered milk. Yeah?
We had powdered milk as well. Probably tastes
better than Chang.
No way does it taste better than Chang. It's always lumpy. Well, maybe if you had hot water to
put
in it,
it better than 4X.
Fuck you, Barney. Say hello to my little friend.
You're talking about your penis.
Well, he said little, so I guess so. What about you guys? Come on, give me a Christmas tale.
Okay, I got a Christmas story.
No, you're not next.
Oh, no, I haven't.
Cambo, come on, give us your best Christmas, or worst, or something.
We're having the family extended dinner at the farm, right? So
bit
all
of a crimbo.
The families come to our place that year. Look, we had a huge cool room there, which Mum used to keep the Christmas turkey in and all the bottles of wine before the Christmas turkey was cooked. So she's gone down there to get the turkey out to go and take it up and cook the bloody thing. And she left it on the workbench. Then she went in to get sort out some of the bottles of wine. Well, in the time it took to sort out the wine, the dog saw the turkey, grabbed it and did the bowl. Then Mum comes out, sees the turkey's gone and looks out the shed. She sees the dog bolting up the road.
That dog.
It's tail wagging. Oh, yeah, fuck, look what I got.
Woo,
well,
Christmas miracle.
The dog got turkey. We ended up with KFC. You know, that's all we could do.
No.
It's like, what do you do? Well, the fucking family's coming and the fucking dog's eating a turkey. There's not enough left.
You couldn't just pick it up and, like, wipe it off and bake it.
Well, we contemplated that. It's like, there's just not enough left. Fucking dog's eating it.
That dog would have had such a tummy ache.
And you just gotta go around and go, what the fuck are you gonna do? So we ended up getting some KFC. It's like, oh fuck.
Should
but the
I
rest
open
of the family didn't go,
beetroot?
Oh yeah, you cheap cunts. You didn't buy a turkey.
No.
Fucking assholes.
I ruined a Christmas dinner once, a Christmas lunch. You know, it's turkey. I was about 10. There was all these bowls of lollies everywhere, so I thought I'd put all the candy inside my dinner, inside the mashed potatoes,
delicious.
On the turkey with the gravy over it. And I thought, that's going to taste awesome. Well, it didn't taste awesome. It tasted rubbish, and the dog wouldn't even eat it.
Oh, maybe Cambo's dog would have.
But I did have a...
Oh, God. You know what our dog's name was?
I was wondering.
Graham?
Handshake.
Handshake. That's weird. What did you call it for short? Like handy.
Just
come
sit
here,
there
handy.
And fucking put its arm up. You know, its left arm or paws.
It'd
just
Poppy
be like
does that.
Wanting to shake your hand. So that's its name, Handshake.
Cute.
I can tell you a nice Christmas story.
Okay,
actually.
Let's do that.
Many right. years ago, I had this girlfriend, and her parents lived in Mildura, and we went up there for Christmas, and they'd go to Christmas services on Christmas Day.
Church.
Yeah.
Oh my church. God, are you allowed in a church? Or does the whole does everyone just turn around and go, get out?
I'm not from a church-going family, so I'd never really experienced this before. And it was this white weatherboard building. It was just beautiful. And you went in there and it had the ceiling fans sweeping. Everyone was wearing white. Well, it seemed like most people were wearing white. You know, men in white suits fanning themselves.
Like the Colonel from Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, Panama hats and stuff.
Ooh.
And I thought, wow, this is like surreal, like a
classy
movie. And then the singing started. And it was amazing. It was quite sweet.
Wow.
I quite enjoyed it.
What the fuck were you wearing, your AC/DC t-shirt?
I was seriously hungover at the time too, which I normally am.
I reckon that's about it for us.
Before we go, we'd like to thank everyone for listening.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
We'd like to give a special shout out to all the people working through the holidays because you know what? In the last 10 years, so many times I've been rostered onto work and I'm sitting in an abandoned building basically all by myself.
Oh, that's a lonely gig.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and
well
if
done.
You get Christmas, because New Year's is a week later, you get the double.
Oh, okay. There's something to it.
The lonely double.
Oh, the lonely double. Did it pay? Did they buy your loneliness? Oh,
you would think they would.
No, but no, not necessarily.
But a day in lieu to me is a day with Kate. So, hey, I'm a winner.
Yeah. That's the kind
grinners.
You want.
There you go.
We'd also love to thank all the people who have supported True Crime Island and Bloody Murder. We couldn't do this without you.
Oh, absolutely. So thanks for listening. And I'm sure Bloody Murder on True Crime Island will return again.
Happy Easter and Merry New Year.
I've been Barney Black.
I've been Tara Saravan.
And I'm Cambo. This is Bloody Murder on True Crime Christmas Island.
Goodbye and adios.
Boom fuckalunga.
And keep kicking against the pricks.
Don't forget to delete your browser history.
Hey, so this worked pretty well, guys, with Cambo in Sydney and us in Melbourne. Yeah. Technological marvels. This
I know,
is great.
But
it's like having
Cambo.
You in the room.
It's like having you in the room, but it's way easier to edit, right? Yeah.
Well, you see, the thing is, we're not going to get mic bleed because we've put you far away enough from us.
We had to put you in a different state.
Yeah.
Well, if ever any of us are locked up, we can still do the show.
Oh, well, assuming we have, like, two mics and Barney.
Doing it live from Silverwater.
Silverwater Bay.
Day prison. Or Mullawa Detention Centre.
They had the intercom on in the room. And they kept lying that it wasn't on, and they were using sonic pressure on my head since 1997.
Oh, I love our Mullawa episodes. I feel like they're very festive.
They really
are.
Yeah,
it's the way it comes out off your tongue, like Mullawa.
It really does roll.
It sounds like a really nice place with gardens and
just plops out of your mouth.
I want to get married in Mullawa.
Mullawa.
Well, the way my life's going, I just might.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I plan on spending a lot of the money on hookers and blackjack and drugs.
And a full back tattoo of you riding a jet ski.
And then I'm going to waste the rest.
Yeah, that's...
I'm just getting a beer.
All right.
By the way, I will need to wee at some point because I just nicked a couple of vodkas, so, you know.
Ooh, you haven't got a bucket?
I wouldn't use it if I had it. There's a toilet nearby.
Adult diaper. Oh.
I thought you were sitting in the toilet doing this.
I want you to think that, but it's not true.
With your potty mouth.
Yeah. Look, my mouth's in the toilet, but the rest of me's in the lounge room. Pretty much how I roll.
You have a woman's bottom.
Oh, well, thank God. It'd be weird if I had a little froggy butt like you.
What's wrong with my...
got a tiny froggy butt.
My pants fall down all the time, and belts don't seem to help.
And I have enough butt for the both of us, but can I share it? No.
I got little boy hips. I got the hips of a 10-year-old boy.
No, seriously, he had this pair of shorts, and they were Star Wars board shorts, and he got them from the kids section. Because he's got Santa bod from the waist up and kitty bod from the waist down.
Dude, that was like 15 years ago.
Yeah.
They missed still out on fit. Leg day.
They were episode one. Shorts.
Oh, that's just horrible. Isn't that when Jar Jar Binks came along?
Yeah, I love Jar Jar Binks.
You don't. No one does.
I want to fuck Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, gross.
Let's do it.
All right.
Hang on, I've got a burp coming.
Bring it.
I can feel it.
Just tap
yourself in the chest.
Tap your chest. That does it.
Yeah, that's what I do. Burp myself constantly. Hey, that was beautiful. You know, I'm super tall. I'm like 6'1", but I have a friend who's about 6'5", and we were all this bunch of friends hanging out, staying together, and the next morning, like, we hugged good morning, and he gave me, like, a back pat, and he burped me.
Oh. Hey, Canberra, you burp like a six-year-old girl.
Well, it was only a little one.
Yeah.
It was a baby burp.
It's only a little one. That's good.
Yeah, yeah, just in case some gold comes out.
Of your woman's bottom.
Oh, anyone's bottom at this point would do.
Then whoever's under it has to suck a swick. Suck a suck a
suck a what?
Who? Suck a who?
Who's going to suck
who
something?
Who are you sucking, Cambo?
Suck my goonie.
Well, not until you put a ring on it.
Then whoever's under it has to suck a swick. Oh, God. Let's try it again.
You can do it. I believe in you.
Oh, I must be thinking of something else. I don't know. Probably. Then, whoever... Okay, okay.
Sorry, dude.
Then, I did get the Muppet song, you know, Manamana.
Do-do-do-do-do. Cadaver Dog.
Do-do-do-do. Cadaver Dog. Know. That's our Cadaver Dog song.
Whenever we see a cadaver dog, we start singing that.
Yeah, Cadaver Dog. Boom, boom.
45-year-old Bruce Jeffrey Pardo, recently divorced from his wife Sylvia Otago, arrives at the residence and bangs on the door.
Did you say Otago?
Ortega?
I thought you might have.
Yeah. Is it Ortega?
Yeah, it's Ortega.
Okay.
Ortega? Sorry. Ortega? I think it's Ortega. Yeah.
Okay. Ortega.
There are around 25 people attending the party, including adults and children. 45-year-old
Breath.
45-year-old Bruce Jeffrey Pardo, recently divorced from his wife Sylvia Ortega.
Ortega?
Ortega again.
recently divorced from his wife Sylvie.
Silly.
Is it Ortega?
I think it's Ortega. What do you think, Cambo?
Ortega. Yeah, we'll do Ortega. Ortega.
Ortega comes easier. I don't know, though.
Potato.
That's not helping.
No, really, so really it's not helping you? It's helping me a
recently
lot.
Recently divorced from his potato. Arrives at a potato.
Ah, you know, Sylvia it's potato. All the same.
And bangs the dog eating the turkey.
No one does that.
45-year-old Bruce Reed.
Retardo.
Bruce Lee.
45-year-old Bruce Jeffrey Pardo, recently divorced from his wife, Sylvia Ortega.
It's not a targ. It's either Ortega or Ortega. I think Ortega.
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 Ortega. What are we going to say? Ortega.
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 Ortega. Ortega.
Ortega.
Okay. Ortega.
Ortega. Okay. We'll get
okay, Barney, did you say it right the first time?
No.
Okay, just backtrack to the start.
I will.
He's dressed in full Santa Claus drag. You know,
we might want to do
suit.
That again because you went over the bang.
Because I did the bang, but
do
I did
the bang.
It late.
Oh,
I'm going to do the bang
sorry.
Again,
wait,
all right?
Wait for the bang, God damn it, Cambo.
Don't talk until we're done banging, Cambo.
Fuck.
See what I did there?
I'm just watching you.
Stop grooming me.
Not us.
Stop
gross.
Grooming me, Tara.
I can feel a burp coming.
Yep.
Oh, someone needs to burp Cambo again. Come here, little buddy. Come here, little buddy. I'll give you a little... Hey, there we go.
You really do burp like a six-year-old girl, don't you?
Well, it's only a little one, and I know if halfway through this bloody paragraph...
You're
going to
do a big
on.
Ragey one, aren't you? Yeah. Burps of rage! A cup of rage burps!
I mean, how would Joseph be... That December 25th, all those years ago, here he is, blue balled and a baby after his wife says she's virgin.
Here he is with blue balls and a baby. Sorry, it gets lost. I do love hearing Happy Cambo, though. It makes my heart glad. You probably
How
got blue
Joseph
balls
be?
Too. You haven't seen Kate in a while.
That's about like a man. How come on.
Now, another story from Great Yarmouth in England, where one of the official town Santas was being picked on by a local teenager. Yeah.
Hey, he did a really good Joycey. One. He did a good Joycey when you were gone.
Oh, yeah. You just can't burp in front of me. You got stage fright, don't you, champ?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa. I take it back. God. I take it all
At least I get
back.
Some appreciation. When I do it in Kate's ears, you fucking...
Oh, dump her. Dump her now, man. Woman who doesn't like having a huge man burp in her ears, clearly not a good choice for Baby. A partner.
So horny. So horny
Dutch
right
oven.
Now.
Mm.
Barney's got wood. Now a story.
You know what a Dutch oven is.
Yes, of course we do. It's what gave Barney the wood.
Oh, oh God.
Now from great...
Oh, yeah.
Every year, the Christmas goat in the Stotsgården Square in Gavel...
Yavlay.
Yavlay.
Yavlay. Yavlay, you sluts to gotten. Slots to get.
Slots to get.
Slots to get Yavlay, you
to get
fuck.
Square.
Make sure you slots to get the Yavlay, you fuck.
No.
It's the big god.
You guys are fucked.
Yeah, we know. We like it. It's good, right?
Christmas goat. Where the fuck they get that from?
I love that there's
a Christmas goat. Fucking goat.
Man, it's fantastic.
There should be more Christmas goats.
Yeah, we should all have one. Every country.
We've got a Christmas kangaroo.
Well, I know the bilby's all about Easter.
It'd be better to have a Christmas koala, wouldn't it?
Christmas drop bear to punish the naughty children.
Ah, yeah. Oh, and the naughty tourists.
Yeah.
Drop down your chimney.
That's
no
right.
one has a freaking chimney anymore, man. Yeah, like, who has
a chimney? Bloody, you get coal if you're bad, and then you
who
burn it and ruin,
well,
ruin the
some
environment.
People
kill
have,
the barrier reef.
Apparently some people do have chimneys because, like, there was a bit of an Aussie as where some guy actually tried to burgle a house through the chimney and then he got stuck in it for days. Lol.
Mum and Dad's got a chimney. They got a fucking, what is it? A
fireplace?
A wood-burning thing.
Yeah, really.
An oven? I don't know. What is it? Fireplace?
Okay, hang on. Wait. Let's unpack this. A wood-burning fucking thing. It could be a stove.
They burn heads in it.
It could be a fireplace? Wood-burning fucking thing. A bonfire?
I don't know.
All right, let's keep moving.
Can I? Yeah.
All right. Slut, where are we up to? Sluts?
Did you just call me a slut?
I feel like he did,
slut.
Yes.
Slut Storgen. Storget. Slut Storget.
Slut Storget.
Slut Storget.
Stop slut screaming me. What is
slut,
it?
Slut Storget shaming you?
Oh, you are such a dirty little slut Storget, Cambo. I can't even believe it. You have to buy new panties every week because you don't keep any.
Oh.
It's okay. I'm not trying to slots to get shame you.
Stop grooming Cambo.
I'm trying to celebrate it.
Stop grooming Cambo. That's my job.
They're a bit tight.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, Barney. Stepping on your territory there.
That's right.
They're a bit tight. They're a bit clingy. I'm sitting here with no aircon on, sweating
up.
Yeah,
we don't have any either.
Let's
keep moving.
They're getting a bit clammy. Do they have Boxing Day everywhere? Or?
Yeah, look, we're assuming. And they at least have it in, like, most of the countries that people listen to.
Every country has a 26th of December.
So you could just say 26th. It surprisingly made it to the 26th of December.
You can say Boxing Day.
I'm just thinking Boxing Day.
Just say the 26th of December. We're covered.
No. We can say Boxing Day.
Okay, go for
that
it.
I was actually just adding a bit then.
Oh, sorry.
It was great.
It was it was amazing. Champagne comedy.
Yeah, well. Woo. Well done.
I'm not so serious. Don't take me serious.
He's drinking a beer. He's drinking it twice. He's drinking it again, and now he's drunk.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart.
My fart.
Last year, the goat surprisingly made it to Boxing Day intact. Boxing Day. Does everyone have Boxing Day everywhere or what?
Oh, I don't know if it's everywhere, but a lot of people have it. It's the day after Christmas.
Well,
I think technically it happens at 12:01 when everyone starts punching each
other. Well, there's a 26th of December in every country, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, there is. They don't all start it with, come at me, cunt. But we do.
Absolutely.
Oh,
no,
Christmas
it's the first come at me, cunt of Boxing Day. It's so beautiful.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Haunting.
Hey, that's the second Randy we got here. We got the marijuana Randy tonight.
Oh, well,
I actually prefer the marijuana Randy personally, but okay.
Hi. Hi, I'm Randy. Are you?
Oh, Cambo. I want to call your 1-800 number.
Hi. Actually,
late
I
at
am.
Night.
Hey, I'm baby. Randy. I'm Cambo. Hi.
Come on.
I'm Campbell. In retaliation,
she turned around and smacked him. She turned around and smacked him fair in the face.
Sorry, I fucked you. Do it again.
Fucking Mary. Fucking Mary.
Fucking.
In retaliation, she turned around and smacked him fair in the face.
In the face.
Well, in the face. What?
Well, in the face.
I need a fucking beer.
Yeah, fucking smack you in the face.
Oh, don't fuck me fair in the face. Ow.
I just have to adjust my F's. 1 minute.
Yeah, pull your pants up. Pull your nundies up.
Pull your nundies up, camper friend.
How do you
pull
know I'm wearing
right
any?
Ah, you're doing this nude.
I'd be wearing clothes if I was there.
No, you wouldn't.
Well, not after Barney got done with you.
Stop grooming me, Barney.
All right, Cambo.
Santa, put it away. That's not your reindeer. Stop stroking your reindeer out the front.
Oh, Cambo.
I love my reindeer.
Oh, Cambo, you tinsel-titted beauty.
You magnificent bastard, Cambo.
What are you doing?
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.